I speed dialed Lei and set the phone to my ear. Gianna, she answered. I have to applaud you for your choice in men.
Can I pick 'em or what?
I walked over to the far wall, where a family portrait hung. I'd been around 12 years old in the picture with braces on my teeth and wild hair. Nico, Vincent, and Angelo had been varying degrees of gangly. My dad was immortalized in his prime, as was my mother, who'd aged little since.
How'd it go?
As expected. You guessed right, by the way. Jackson said he's stepped in as a favor for someone. I haven't had a chance to dig for more details. I'm sorry, I've been with Chad since I left, but it's probably a Rutledge. When Jackson's not gambling with millions, he's cleaning up after family members, a la Olivia Pope, and dating beautiful women. As for Chad, he's on board, but I think we'd be wise to get a new contract drawn up ASAP before something happens to change his mind. Jax isn't going home gracefully. He crashed the dinner hour at Rossi's, bringing Stacy along for the show. Lei laughed. I'm sorry, but I like him. My mouth quirked ruefully. Happens. Ian called.
Oh? How'd that go?
He asked if I'd see him tonight.
Ah,
maybe that's why Jax has Stacy. Babysitting duty. Irritatingly, that filled me with relief. Could be. I said no in any case. I feel like our men are circling the wagons, which means we need to keep doing what we're doing. Honestly, I haven't had this much fun in years.
Our men. I snorted and turned in time to see the door opening and Jax appearing. I have to go, Lei, but I'm here if you need me.
We'll hit it again fresh in the morning. Good night, Gianna.
You too.
I set my phone aside. We sized each other up for a long minute. He was wearing the gray sweater and slacks from earlier in the day, the casualness more familiar and beloved. A lock of his dark hair fell over his brow, softening the severity of his beauty. He had his back against the door, his hands in his pockets, his legs crossed at the ankles, but only an idiot would fail to sense the predatory alertness in him. His hooded gaze was watchful and knowing, seeing way too much.
I miss the curls in your hair, he said finally.
I backed up to my father's desk, resting my butt against it. I crossed my arms.
That's a seriously delayed response.
A couple years too late.
You were closing in on the kill when I got here. Are you thinking about fucking Chad Williams because you want to, or because you want him to sign on the dotted line?
Some other woman might have held her tongue because the question didn't deserve an answer. I didn't say anything because I was too hurt. I'd never seen Jax deliberately mean or cruel. He'd just disappeared from my life.
Gia.
Don't call me that.
What would you prefer?
My foot tapped restlessly.
I'd rather not see or hear from you.
Why not?
I would think that'd be obvious.
His wonderfully sensitive mouth tightened.
Not to me. We know each other. We get along well. Very, very well.
I'm not fucking you again,
I snapped, feeling the walls close in on us. He'd always had that effect on me. When he was with me, I didn't register anything else.
Why not?
Stop asking me that.
Jack straightened, and the office got even smaller. My breathing quickened, my gaze darting to the door at his back.
It's a valid question.
He engaged the lock without taking his eyes off me.
Tell me why you're so angry.
A surge of panic got the better of me.
You fell off the face of the earth.
Did I?
He took a step toward me.
Are you saying you didn't know how to find me?
I frowned, confused.
What are you talking about?
It had to end, and it did.
He came closer.
Quietly. No messy scenes. No ugly memories.
We neat and tidy. I sucked in a sharp breath, more wounded than I could say. I lashed out in self-defense. So why rehash and screw it up?
Can't we be friends?
No.
Jack stepped into my space. Can't we do business together?
Nope.
I unfolded my arms, feeling the need to take the defensive.
You made this personal from the get-go.
He smiled, flashing that damned dimple. You're sexy as hell when you're mad at me. I should have pissed you off more often.
Back off, Jax.
I did. It didn't take.
Actually, it did. Go back to your world and forget me again.
My world. The smile faded along with the light in his eyes. Right. He'd stopped his advance, so I skirted him quickly, aware that I had been gone too long and Chad was waiting. Jax caught my arm, his hand flexing around it. He spoke in my ear. Don't fuck him. I shivered. We stood shoulder to shoulder, facing in opposite directions, which mirrored our entire relationship. I smelled him, felt his warmth, was reminded of other occasions when he'd whispered in my ear. Jax knew how to seduce, and he never shirked the effort. Even when I'd been a sure thing, he'd get me hot long before he took me to bed, giving me long, searing looks, touching me often, murmuring naughty promises that made me blush.
Are you celibate, Jax? I retorted.
I will be, if you are.
A harsh laugh burst out of me.
Yeah, right. He held my gaze. Try me.
I'm not interested in playing games.
The doorknob rattled, making me jump.
Gianna, are you in there?
Vincent.
Yes, I called out. Hang on.
Don't fuck him, Jax repeated, his eyes dark and hard. I mean it, Gia. I shook free and fumbled the lock open, pulling the door wide. My brother paused with the office key in his hand, then glared over my shoulder at Jax.
You got a death wish, Rutledge.
Rolling my eyes, I pushed Vincent back.
Leave it alone.
Sniff around somewhere else,
Vincent went on, blocking the doorway as soon as I moved out of the way. I briefly considered intervening, then decided against it. They were big boys. They could figure it out by themselves. When I got back to the dining room, I found a large to-go bag sitting in the table in front of Chad, who stood when he saw me.
What do you think about taking this back to the hotel and eating in peace?
He asked. I looked around the dining room, easily spotting Stacy's bright hair gleaming in the muted glow of the wrought iron chandeliers. She was staring daggers at Chad and me.
I've got a better idea, I said, grabbing my belongings. I know some place we can go where no one will find us.
I took him to my sister-in-law Denise's beauty salon in Brooklyn. She closed up shop, found some paper plates, and we feasted on lukewarm but still delicious ragu bolognese in the stylist's lounge in back, away from the smells of dye and hairspray.
You've got a New York accent,
Chad noted after we'd been swapping crazy customer stories for a while.
I've never noticed before.
I shrugged. Yeah, as heard on TV in 10,000 cop shows. Chad laughed.
It's because she's on her own turf,
Denise explained. I didn't add anything. No biggie that he'd noticed. The accent always came out when I was hanging with family or friends, when my defenses were relaxed and I felt more like the me I used to be.
It's cute,
he teased, exaggerating his own.
Y'all know I've got one, too.
She's gotten good at hiding it,
Denise said, her platinum hair with hot pink tips arranged into artful braids. She had piercings in her nose and brow and a sleeve of tattoos on her left arm. She was also 5 months pregnant and just beginning to show. I was so excited about that. I was dying to be an aunt. My smartphone started ringing in my purse, and I reached over to the counter to dig it out. Maybe Lay needed me after all. She hadn't been kidding about the hours when she'd hired me. I'd had 2 a.m. calls and weekend calls, but I loved them all because those happened when she was really pumped about something.
Looking at the screen, I didn't recognize the New York number and was about to let it go to voicemail when I decided to indulge Chad with my accent a little more.
Gianna Rossi's office? I answered naturally. How can I help you?
Silence greeted me.
Then, Gia.
I held my breath, rocked by the way Jack said my name. The way he used to when we were lovers and he'd called just to hear my voice.
Say something,
he said gruffly. Fortified by the sight of my stricken face in the unforgiving mirror, I replied with chilly calm.
How did you get this number?
Give me a break, he snapped. Talk like you used to. The real you.
You're the one who called me.
He bit out something under his breath. Have lunch with me tomorrow.
No.
I slid out of the chair and walked toward the front of the beauty shop.
Yes, Gia. We need to talk.
I don't have anything to say to you.
Then listen.
I rubbed the tip of my stiletto over a crack in a floor tile. Denise had just started turning a profit, and there were improvements she wanted to make to the shop. Still, the location was newly hip again, and she'd been smart to go with gorgeous vintage pinups on the walls and great retro decor that distracted the eye from minor flaws. God, I was a mess over Jax. My scattered brain was bouncing random thoughts all over the place. I focused on the man driving me crazy. If I have lunch with you, will you go away and leave me alone?
I won't promise that.
Then I won't go, I countered. You've got no right to invade my life like this. None of this is your business. You shouldn't be butting in.
Damn it. I didn't know you were in love with me, Gia.
My eyes closed against the pain of hearing those words from his lips.
If that's true, you didn't know me at all.
I hung up. Chapter 5. I found something tying Pembry with the Rutledges, I told Leigh first thing Friday morning, following her into her office as she arrived for the day. An article in FSR magazine. She glanced aside at me.
How long have you been here?
Half an hour, maybe? But I'd been up late doing my homework, unable to sleep. I needed to know why Jax was meddling in my life and how to get him back out of it again. I didn't want an apology from him or an explanation. I didn't want to be friends. I didn't want any reason to hope, because it had become painfully obvious to me that I was still in love with him. And now he was becoming aware of it, too. I'd learned my lesson the first time, and he'd confirmed it. Our relationship had to end at some point. No do-overs. I slid the article from full-service restaurant across her desk. A tiny mention of Pembry supporting and contributing to Rutledge campaigns in a bigger piece on restaurateurs and politics. Her astute gaze lifted to meet mine. I lived with Ian for 5 years. He never once voted in any election, and he's too much of a tight ass to spend the kind of money it takes to get the Rutledges' personal attention. Leigh leaned back, twisting her chair side to side. That said, she went on, I can't see a venture capitalist taking an interest in Ian's business over mine without some personal motivation. It doesn't make fiscal sense. Lifting my hands, I admitted, I don't get it either.
Would Jackson tell you what sparked his interest in Ian, if you asked him?
Maybe. I took a seat in front of her desk. But he's not the deciding factor here. Stacy prefers Ian, Chad prefers us. We've got a grip on this.
Aren't you curious?
Not enough to go out of my way to talk to him. He's starting to realize I took our fling more seriously than I should have, and that's awkward.
Leigh's gaze was warm with sympathy. I guess the best solution is to get this wrapped up.
I'm talking with the team at Mondego today about moving forward with just Chad. They're not as excited, no surprise there, but I think I have an appealing alternative. I leaned forward, and she smiled at my eagerness. These two. She swiveled her monitor around to face me, revealing two very different women. One darkly exotic, the other a fresh-faced blonde. I've been keeping my eye on them for a few months now. Isabel, the brunette, specializes in regional Italian, while Inez, the blonde, has a flair for regional French. A soft laugh bubbled up. Dueling Kitchens International. More work to get the menu right, but when you can't deliver two, up the ante to three. Awesome. They rubbed her hands together. With any luck, we'll still be cracking open bottles of bubbly. I heard my desk phone ringing through the open door and stood. She pushed her phone over to me. You can get that here. Picking up the receiver, I hit the button for my line and answered.
Miss Rossi, Ian Pembry. Good morning.
I raised my brows and mouthed Ian to Lay. Her mouth curved. Good morning, Mr. Pembry. I was just thinking about you.
I was waiting for you to call. Then I got impatient.
The warm amusement in his voice hit me the way I suspected it hit most women. There was no doubt about it. He had a great bedroom voice. Would you be available for lunch sometime? I asked, shooting a look to Lay to make sure she'd be okay with it. She nodded.
I'm flattered you'd choose me over Jackson,
he said, putting my back up.
But I was hoping for dinner instead. I have an engagement tonight and I need a date.
Reaching over, I hit the speaker button. What about Stacy?
She's wonderful, of course, but I'd prefer to take you. You'll want to come along, Lay?
He posited, addressing her directly.
And look out for your girl,
which is fine.
The more, the merrier. It's a formal event. Be at the Midtown Heliport by 6.
Lay grinned, clearly enjoying the exchange, although she didn't reply. You're assuming I don't have plans on a Friday night, I said.
Don't be offended, Miss Rossi.
He sounded amused.
It's a compliment on your dedication. Lay wouldn't have hired you if you didn't put the job first. See you tonight.
The line clicked off and I set the receiver back on the cradle. Well, what do you think?
I think we need to go shopping.
When I returned to my desk, I found a package waiting. I ripped into the brown paper wrapping and discovered a foiled box of chocolates inside. The surge of desire that pierced me at the sight of that particular brand, Newhouse, and the memories it evoked quickened my breathing. My skin heated. I'd had the Belgian truffles only once before, when I'd sucked them off the tips of Jax's fingers. He'd melted them with the heat of his touch, then painted words over my body that he'd licked off with wicked lashes of his tongue. Sexy Gia. Sweet. And my favorite? Mine. My thighs clenched and I crossed my ankles, my core tightening in greedy demand. My body didn't care that he dumped me without a word. It wanted Jax. Desperately. The note attached was simple and unsigned.
I'd know you blindfolded.
I couldn't tell you where Lay took us to buy gowns. It was a small, unmarked storefront that had a permanent closed sign on the door. Appointments only. The moment Lay's town car pulled up out front, we were ushered inside a showroom of quiet luxury and served champagne with ripe strawberries. There were no price tags in evidence anywhere. The next hour passed in a blur of silks and taffetas. I was dazzled. There had been times working with Lay that I had been exposed to a world far beyond anything I knew. I always struggled to hide my wide-eyed awe on such occasions, striving to take my cues from Lay, who seemed so natural and at ease. I had to remind myself that her background wasn't so different from mine. She'd acquired polish over the years, and so could I. I was eyeing a black gown with lace cap sleeves when Lay set her hand on my shoulder.
That's too old for you, she said.
I glanced at her. I think it looks understated and elegant.
It does, for a woman my age. You're 25. Enjoy it.
I have to be careful, I explained. My boss was slender as a reed, graceful and lithe. I was too curvy. My boobs are too big, and so is my butt.
You're sexy, she asserted bluntly. You play it down at work, which I understand and appreciate, but don't waste it.
It's a terrible myth that a successful woman can't be sexy without ruining her credibility. Don't buy into it. I caught my lower lip between my teeth. Looking around the showroom, I was intimidated by the reek of wealth it exuded. I was out of my league. The walls were draped in billowing ivory silk, for Christ's sake, instead of wallpaper. And the finger sandwiches they had just brought out were sitting on a platter I was positive was pure, heavy silver. Can you help me? I'm afraid I'll make the wrong choice.
That's what I'm here for, Gianna.
She gestured at one of the three women helping us.
Let's see what you've got for young, beautiful, and voluptuous.
The whistles I got when I stepped out of my bedroom a few hours later both excited me and made me nervous. Denise had come home early to do my hair, bringing Pam, one of her stylists, with her to do my makeup. Angelo was sprawled across the couch watching stuff he'd recorded on the DVR, passing the time until his 8 o'clock shift at Rossi's.
Wow,
my brother said, sliding up into a sitting position. Who are you and what have you done with my sister?
Shut up,
Denise and I retorted in unison.
She looks like a movie star,
Pam said, returning from the kitchen where she'd been cleaning her cosmetic brushes.
One of the real goddesses, I'd say. Raquel Welch or Sophia Loren.
Who? Denise frowned. But I got it. I'd always thought of my mom the same way. The gown we'd chosen in the end was still black, but much sexier. A jeweled brooch held the one shoulder strap together, with inky satin ruched across the bust, cinched at the waist with a thin diamond belt, then slit down the right leg from mid-thigh to hem. It occurred to me that it was a good thing Vincent was already at Rossi's. He might have freaked a little at how much of my legs were showing. Nico, who was living in Jersey now, would have loved it. Denise plopped down on the sofa with two beers in hand, passing one over to her husband and setting the other one on the coffee table for Pam. She'd been sticking religiously to water and fruit juice since she'd found out about the baby. Gold hoops glittered from between the crimped mass of her hair.
Is Chad going too?
She asked.
I have no idea. Is Jax?
Angelo added tightly. I shrugged, but my pulse leaped. I had tried not to think about Jax when I'd been getting ready, but I couldn't help hoping he could see me dolled up. I looked hot.
You know better,
he warned. Yeah, I agreed. I do. My smartphone rang, and I knew Lay's driver had arrived.
Gotta run!
I hurried across the refinished hardwood of our joint loft to grab my heels, clutch, and wrap from the bench by the door, waving at Pam before I exited through the open sliding front door. I skipped the temperamental old freight elevator and took the three flights of stairs to reach the street. Lay's driver was used to the delay. Nico, Vincent, and Angelo had bought the loft with the expectation of fixing it up and selling it for a profit. I'd moved in after college and eventually bought Nico's share when he moved to New Jersey. Then Vincent and I had split the cost of Angelo's share when he'd moved out with Denise, giving the two of us 50% stake each. We'd been considering selling out when Denise found out she was pregnant, and she and Angelo moved back in to save money. I liked coming home to a full house and missed Nico. I wasn't sure what I'd have done with myself living alone. I think having someone around all the time had helped me focus on work and date less than I normally would have. I'd been comfortable with that, but maybe I had just been hiding from the fact I was nursing a broken heart. Maybe I should have faced that sooner. Certainly it was time to face it now. Breathless from the rush, I slid into the open back seat of the town car and we headed to Lay's. Her part of New York was a lot different from mine. She lived in Manhattan, a bridge distance away that could have been another world. We crossed the East River with the sun still hanging in the sky, the light's reflection on the water broken by an industrious towboat. It amazed me that I'd once believed Jax could fit in here. I had come to associate him so completely with D.C. that I could no longer imagine him anywhere else. Except my bed. I had no trouble imagining him there. I was considering how to best finagle information out of Ian Pembury when the car pulled to a stop in front of Lay's apartment building. I'd seen her dress earlier, but it had a whole new impact with the hair and makeup to match. emerald green and Grecian in design, it glided over her willowy body as she exited her apartment building with a smile for her doorman. The rich hue of her gown showed off her flawless pale skin and emphasized the red of her lips, while a beautiful jeweled clip accented the silver strands at her right temple. She settled on the seat beside me, and I immediately caught her tension. "You okay?" I asked.
"Sure."
We were quiet as we took the short ride to the heliport, both of us lost in our own thoughts. Turning a corner, my gaze caught on a dog park and the boisterous furry bodies running wild and free inside it. Their playful exuberance and undisguised pleasure made me smile, despite the somber turn my reflections had taken all day. I hated to admit it, but I was hurt that Ian knew about Jax inviting me to lunch. When Jax had called, I thought the request had come from the heart. I had believed it was personal, that he truly wanted to connect with me, even if it was only to apologize. I guess I'd always expected too much from Jax. When it came to him, my instincts were seriously faulty. By the time we were strapped into a helicopter and lifting into the air, my attention had turned outward to Lei. She stared out the window as the ground dropped farther away, laying the city out for us in a spectacular blanket of setting sun-drenched concrete and sparkling glass. I followed suit, absorbing the panorama. The entire day had been reflective of my experience working with Lei. My family had a microscopic view of the world, and they liked it. I'd always wanted something bigger, a view with a much wider lens.
"Do you know where we're going?" I asked.
She shook her head. "Ian's making a point with this outing. I expect we'll be wowed." Around 8 o'clock, I found myself exiting a limousine in front of a sprawling mansion in D.C. I'd been growing more anxious by the mile, starting when we boarded a private jet at the airport and increasing exponentially when the flight attendant advised us of our destination.
"He's outdone himself,"
Lei muttered as Pembrey descended the sprawling home's wide front steps to greet us. The restaurateur looked impressively dapper in a classic tuxedo, his silvery gray hair slicked back. He greeted me first by kissing the back of my hand, then turned his blue eyes onto Lei.
"You're toying with one of my people," she said coldly, watching impassively as he lifted her hand to his mouth. "You never used to be cruel."
"I used to have a heart,"
he drawled,
"and then someone broke it."
My gaze darted between the two, trying to read the vibrating tension between them. I got the sense I was being played and that everyone understood the rules but me. Fine, if I kept my mouth shut and my ears open, I could catch up. Ian turned and offered me his arm.
"Shall we?"
He led me up the front steps with Lei trailing behind. A glance back at her proved she did so regally, her head held high on that long neck I envied. Light spilled out of the open double doors and limousines discharged their passengers in steady waves behind us. It was an amazing party, and I hadn't even crossed the threshold.
"I trust the flights were pleasant,"
he said. I glanced at him and found him watching me too carefully. "Yes, thank you."
"Have you been to D.C. before?"
"My first time."
"Ah."
He smiled, and I could see a hint of his charm.
"Maybe you'll consider spending the weekend. I have a townhouse in Georgetown. You're welcome to use it."
"That's kind of you." Laughing, he unlinked our arms and set his hand at the small of my back, urging me through the doors before him.
"I hope you'll say more than a few words at a time as the evening progresses, Miss Rossi. I'd like to get to know you, especially since both Jackson and Lei have taken such an interest in you."
My steps slowed when I saw what looked to be a receiving line. "What is this event?"
"A private fundraiser,"
he murmured near my ear. I suddenly understood what Lei had meant by cruelty. "For a Rutledge?" Amusement colored his voice.
"Who else?"
passing through the receiving line went quickly, with brisk handshakes from the men and slightly warmer hand clasps by the women. All of them were perfectly groomed, without a hair out of place, and all had big, practiced smiles with blindingly white teeth. I was glad to get through and accept a glass of champagne from the tray of a smiling waiter. I was even happier to see Chad, who looked as uncomfortable as I felt. His face brightened when he saw us, familiar faces in an unfamiliar crowd, and he headed our way.
"I took the liberty of pairing Chad with you, Lay,"
Ian said, his gaze sliding over her. I searched the room for Jax. I didn't see him, but then there were so many people milling around the ballroom we'd been shown to. A ballroom, for God's sake, in someone's house. Who lived like this? I swallowed a large gulp of the cool wine in my glass. Jax lived like this. The sleek businessman I'd seen at Savor fit in here, but not the lover I'd known.
You only thought you knew him.
Chad came up to me, sliding one finger beneath the collar of his dress shirt.
Can you believe this? I just met the governor of Louisiana, and he knew who I am.
Ian's smile was smug, but I still didn't get it. How do politics and the food service industry mix? I asked him.
Strange bedfellows, I admit.
He took my empty glass and swapped it for a fresh one as a waiter walked by.
But everyone eats.
Not everyone votes, Lay said, catching her own glass.
You were always much more conscientious about that than I,
Ian agreed.
What about you, Gianna? I can call you Gianna, can't I? Do you exercise your right to vote?
Isn't politics one of those topics it's wiser not to discuss? I eyed a passing tray of hors d'oeuvres and realized my nerves were too shot to even consider food.
Why don't we dance instead?
He suggested. Figuring it might be a rare chance to speak to him alone, I agreed. Chad took my glass of champagne and downed it. I'll warn you that I'm not a great dancer, I told Ian as he led me over to the area reserved for dancing. I'd taken a few classes to build my confidence, but I never had a chance to dance formally outside of the studio and little time to practice anything beyond the basic steps. I had definitely never danced to a live orchestra before.
Just follow my lead,
he murmured, pulling me close. We blended into the few couples on the floor. I was so focused on not stepping on his feet that I didn't say anything for the first minute or so.
Tell me how you know Jackson,
he said. I don't know him. And that was the truth, in every way that mattered. Ian's brows rose, his blue eyes searching my face.
Yesterday wasn't the first time you'd met.
Since I'm sure you knew that before you brought him into the mix, I'm more interested in how you two know each other.
I know his father, Parker Rutledge. He introduced us.
He looked past me.
Speak of the devil.
My spine stiffened. I turned my head, my steps faltering as I watched a man who looked eerily like Jax dancing with a very pretty younger woman. The urge to leave the event was insanely strong. I had no business at a political fundraiser, no place in a world that had nothing at all to do with my own. I couldn't figure out how a pair of twin chefs had led me to this point in time, and didn't really care to puzzle it out at the moment anyway. A sinking feeling that the night would go from bad to worse was getting stronger. What was the reason you brought us here, Ian? He countered with a question of his own.
How ambitious are you, Gianna?
I'm loyal to Lay. He smiled.
I was too. Unfortunately, you won't find her to be as faithful in return. You know as well as I do that it's not in Chad's or Stacy's interest to break up. They need each other.
They can make it on their own. They're both talented in their own right. My feelings of irritation grew. Why couldn't we have discussed this in New York?
I'm fighting for my livelihood. You have to expect that I'll pull out all the stops.
Lay's in your league. I'm not.
You feel out of place here, he said softly, soothingly. I know these people. I would love to help you make connections and find your way.
I stared up at him. Why are you offering me that? Because of Jackson? If you think I want to insinuate myself into his life, you couldn't be more wrong about me.
The song ended and I pulled back, ready to find Lei and see if she wanted to leave too. Pembry wisely got the hint and guided me off the dance floor. I was almost home free when a tall figure stepped into my path. I looked up and caught my breath, thinking for a split second that Jax had shown up after all. Then I realized it was his dad.
Ian,
Parker said, thrusting out his hand in greeting. His voice carried power in it, just as his posture did. The Rutledge patriarch controlled a family with serious political clout. His reach and influence were staggering if you thought about it, which I couldn't help doing when he turned those dark eyes to me.
I don't think I've met your lovely companion before.
I was startled to hear his slight accent, one I couldn't place. Ian did the honors.
Parker, this is Gianna Rossi.
Gianna, Parker Rutledge. Hello, I said.
Miss Rossi, a pleasure. This is my wife, Regina.
I looked at the blonde beside him, the one he'd been dancing with, and thought she couldn't be much older than me. She certainly wasn't old enough to be Jax's mother. Even a great plastic surgeon couldn't preserve someone that well. Hello, Mrs. Rutledge. Her smile didn't reach her eyes.
Regina, please. Dance with me, Regina,
Ian said, holding a hand out to her with a flourish. She looked at Parker, who gave a nod. She looked back at Ian.
I want you to tell me about that new chef you brought with you tonight. What type of food does he cook?
Modern Southern.
Really? They moved off. I'm having a dinner party in a few weeks. Do you think...
You'd never know it from looking at her,
Parker said, setting his hand at my waist before I could decline.
But she loves to eat.
I have a hard time understanding people who don't.
Parker swept me into the dance with a flourish, and I held on, forcing myself to breathe.
Regina also loves a great party, he continued, but then she's young and beautiful.
Like you.
Thank you.
Your interest is hospitality, isn't it?
I believe that's what Ian told me.
You must enjoy a great party, too.
What do you think of this one?
It's...
I scrambled for an answer.
I'm still taking it in.
He laughed, and the sound wasn't anything like Jax's warm chuckles. Parker had a booming laugh, one that drew attention. It was oddly infectious. I felt my mouth curve reluctantly.
Gianna,
he said again with that hint of a regional accent.
An unusual name, isn't it? Jackson knew a Gianna in Las Vegas a few years ago.
As I'd expected, the evening was quickly moving from uncomfortable to disastrous. I had assumed I'd been a secret. Instead, it seemed Jax had been telling everyone about me. That didn't give me the warm fuzzies. It's a family name, I answered tightly, feeling terribly awkward.
It must have been a pleasant surprise, seeing him again.
I studied him. Would Jax look like his father when he reached the same age? I hoped not. I hoped he'd have more laugh lines around the eyes and less tension around his beautiful mouth. I'm more surprised that Ian felt the need to involve him in our business.
I involved Jackson,
he murmured, looking over my head with narrowed eyes.
Ian did me a wonderful favor when he introduced me to Regina, so I help him whenever I can.
He looked at me again.
I wasn't aware of you, though. I'll assume Ian was.
Unease slid down my spine. I felt like a clownfish swimming with sharks, in way over my head.
Excuse me.
God,
The sound of Jax's voice reverberated through me.
I'm cutting in.
Parker stopped, and I turned my head, my heart pounding when I came face to face with Jax.
I didn't think you'd show, Parker said to his son.
Jax glanced at me, then back at his father.
You didn't give me a choice.
For a second, I considered slipping away while the two men were occupied with staring hard at each other. Then Jax's arm slipped around my waist from behind, pulling me into him and away from his father. Parker glanced at me.
I'll bow out and see you at dinner, Gianna. Enjoy yourself.
Jax rounded me, cutting off my view of his dad's retreating back.
You look amazing,
he said softly, pulling me closer. My shoulders ached with tension. I'm glad you approve. He took the first step and I followed.
Breathe, Gia, he admonished. I've got you.
I don't want to be here.
That makes two of us.
He caressed my back with a soothing brush of his hand.
I hate these things.
But you fit right in. His eyes were shadowed with an emotion I couldn't name.
I was born into it. I don't live in it.
The heat of his body began to soak into mine. Every breath I took was filled with his scent. Every movement he made sent echoes of memories sliding through me.
That's better, he coaxed. Relax into me, baby.
Don't.
You're in my world now, Gia. My rules.
I shook my head. I was tricked into coming here. He pulled me closer, his lips at my temple.
I'm sorry.
You just had to get that out, didn't you? I don't see why. Clearly I wasn't the dirty little secret I thought I was.
Not dirty.
His voice lowered.
Except when you wanted me that way.
A little rough, a lot hard.
Jesus, you used to turn me inside out.
I stepped on his foot on purpose. His low laugh rippled through me. You've been drinking, I accused, smelling the faint trace of liquor on his breath.
Driven to it.
He pulled back, his jaw set.
I didn't know it'd be so damn hard to see you again.
I'll make it easier. Help me and Lei get out of here.
Not yet.
His soft mouth brushed over my brow.
I spent a night with your family. You owe me a night with mine.
Then do I get to disappear, never to be seen again? I really wanted to. Cinderella at the ball had turned into the unsuitable girl once more. His chest brushed against my breast as he urged me closer.
That's the plan.
Jax kept me dancing through two more songs, bluntly refusing to relinquish me to Ian or two other gentlemen who attempted to cut in. I got the message as loudly as I'm sure everyone else did. I arrived with Ian, but I was now with Jax. At that point, I decided to play my Cinderella role to the hilt. I kicked the voice in my head that had been depressing me for the last 2 days into a corner and flexed my toes in my proverbial glass slippers. I want champagne, I announced abruptly. Jax eyed me.
Is that right?
Yep.
His eyes took on a wicked gleam I recognized. Come on.
Grabbing my hand, he led me off the dance floor and through the crowd. It surged around him, trying to pin us in, but he was adept at brusque acknowledgments and quick rejoinders. I caught sight of a familiar face, beautiful Allison Kelsey, the woman whose fiancé's bachelor party had brought Jax and I together. Then the view changed to a brightly lit hallway. From there, Jax led me through a swinging door into a massive industrial-sized kitchen buzzing with activity. I looked around, noting the multiple cooking stations and the black-and-white service uniforms I'd only ever seen in movies. Jax snagged a bottle of champagne out of the hands of a waiter, slipped his ring finger around the stem of a flute in a practiced movement, then pulled me out a side door into another hallway. "Where are we going?" I asked, still wary of being alone with him. I wanted him. I'd never stopped.
"You'll see."
The sounds of the party grew louder, and I ignored the pang of disappointment I felt at the possibility of rejoining it. Seriously, I had to make up my mind. Jax led me through open French doors onto a terrace overlooking a magical garden. At least it looked that way to me, with its torch-lit gravel pathways and handsome old trees sparkling with white lights. "Whose house is this?" I queried.
"It's a Rutledge estate."
The way he said it conveyed more ownership than the words themselves.
"Right. Pretend we crashed this party," he said, leading me down the cobblestone steps to a crescent-shaped marble bench.
I sat, watching, as he poured champagne for me and passed me the glass.
"Seems like we've been pretending all along, doesn't it?"
Jack swigged straight out of the bottle and wiped his mouth with the back of his hand, careless and a bit defiant.
"Maybe. I still know you better than you think I do."
"I don't feel like I know you at all."
"So? Get to know me," he challenged. "What are you afraid of?"
I sipped my champagne. "Spinning my wheels and dead ends?"
"Can't you just enjoy the ride?"
"Oh, I'd love it." A surge of heated yearning pierced me. He set the bottle on the bench beside me.
"I'm going to kiss you."
My breath caught. "No, you're not."
"Try and stop me."
I surged to my feet. "Jackson!"
"Shut up, Gia."
He cupped my face in both hands and took my mouth. For a moment, I didn't move, frozen by the feel of his lips on mine. So soft, yet firm, achingly familiar. Tender. His tongue licked along the seam. I opened up to him with a low moan, and he slid inside. I dropped my flute. Distantly, I heard it shatter, but didn't care. My arms were draped across his broad shoulders. My fingers were in his silky hair. I was drinking him in, tasting champagne and Jack's, lifting onto my toes to deepen the connection. As always, he gave me what I demanded of him. Holding me still, he ate at my mouth, stroking with the velvet lash of his tongue, nibbling with lips and teeth, sliding his lips back and forth across mine, savoring me, turning a simple kiss into an erotic melding that had me trembling with pleasure. God, I'd missed him. Missed the way he made me feel. He growled, the rough sound vibrating against me. His hand slid downward, rubbing along my back, holding me in place as he rolled his hips and brushed the thick length of his erection against my cleft. Desire shot through me, flushing my skin. He smelled delicious, the subtle fragrance of his soap mixing with the virile scent that was his alone. I wanted to wallow in him the way I used to, pressing my naked body to his until even air couldn't come between us.
"Gia,"
he murmured gruffly, his lips sliding along my cheek.
"Christ, I want you."
I closed my eyes, my hands fisting in the thick strands of his hair. I was on fire for him, my skin feeling too tight and sensitive. "You had me."
"I made the right decision walking away."
His breath gusted over my temple.
"That doesn't mean I don't regret it."
A tiny voice of caution was screaming. "You'll hurt me."
"I'll worship you."
One of his hands captured my nape. The other gripped my hip, urging me into the slide of his hardness against my clit.
"You remember how it was. Hours with my hands and mouth on you, my cock inside you."
"For how long?"
My core was clenching, tightening in demand for an orgasm.
"Weeks," he groaned.
"Months.
Jesus, I'm so hard it hurts." I struggled out of his hold. "I need more than sex." He let me go, but his gaze was fierce and hot.
"I'll give you everything I've got."
"For a few weeks?" I trembled from the effort of staying away from him when he was all I craved. "A few months?"
"Gia."
Jack scrubbed his hands over his face. "Damn it."
"Take what I can give you."
"It's not enough."
"It has to be."
Christ, don't ask me to turn you into one of them!
I jerked back, startled by his vehemence. What are you talking about?
He turned his back to the house and picked up the bottle of champagne, drinking deeply. Confused, I studied him and saw only mulish determination. I looked past him into the ballroom, seeing the glittering couples inside. Lei appeared at that moment, walking onto the terrace with Chad on her arm. In that moment, I understood how badly I wanted to unravel the mystery of Jax, bad enough that I didn't care how much it was going to cost me.
"Mind if we join you?" Lei asked as she and Chad approached.
Her eyes caught mine. I sank onto the bench, my body still throbbing with unappeased hunger. Glancing at Jax, I found his eyes on me. A challenge was there in those dark depths. I held my hand out for the champagne, gripping the bottle by the neck when he handed it to me. I lifted it in toast and drank to that dare.
Chapter 6. Don't disappear. See me again.
Jax's last words, whispered in my ear as we said goodbye, haunted me on the flight back to New York. If I tangled with him, I'd get hurt, because I would hope. I wanted more. But what choice did I have? I had to know what had gone so wrong before and what was still holding him back now. I'd always assumed it was me, who I was, where I came from, not meshing with who he was and what he wanted long term. I glanced at Lei, who was seated across from me on the plane, as she opened her clutch and withdrew a folded piece of paper. She slid it over, and I smoothed it out on the table in front of us. I read the first paragraph, shot a look down to see the signature at the bottom, then lifted my head.
Oh my God! You got Chad to sign?
It's a tentative agreement, she qualified, based on getting Isabel and Inez on board, and you overseeing the first restaurant, but it's got him on the hook.
Wow!
I refolded the document carefully, taking in the fact that I'd just been handed a major responsibility.
I can't believe you had this with you. Did you know he'd be there?
I suspected, knowing Ian.
I handed the agreement back to her.
Rutledge took care of you tonight, Lei noted. Ian tried to throw you to the wolves, but Jackson kept you too close for that.
And he'd wanted me even closer. I shrugged off her unspoken query, not wanting to get into something so deeply personal.
By the way, Parker Rutledge explained the connection. Ian introduced Parker to the latest Mrs. Rutledge.
Did he?
Lei's elegantly arched brows rose. Then it's likely Ian knows Regina Rutledge intimately.
Are you kidding?
Afraid not. Okay, then.
She leaned her head back against the seat.
Let's enjoy the weekend. Turn off your phone. Forget about work. Just recharge. We'll hit it fresh on Monday.
That sounded perfect to me. I'm more than game, but I'll leave my phone on in case you need me.
Lei smiled. I won't need you. I promise. I've got a date this weekend.
All weekend?
I'm overdue.
I laughed. In the year I'd been with Lei, I hadn't known her to date. She was due for a good time, all right.
So was I.
Rocket?
She shot me a look.
I plan to.
When I got home, it was just past 2 a.m. and everyone was asleep. I padded into my room on bare feet, eager to strip and scrub down to my bare skin. I was reaching for the concealed zipper on the side of my dress when I caught sight of my reflection in the mirrored closet doors. I paused, really taking a good hard look at myself. Was Jax attracted to the polished businesswoman I'd become in a way he hadn't been to the girl I was before? Was I okay with that?
God.
I sat on the edge of my bed, wishing someone were awake that I could talk to. If Nico had been around, he'd be up. He was a night owl. Impulsively, I reached for the phone on my nightstand and speed dialed him. It rang 3 times before he answered.
Hey, he said. This better be good.
I winced at his irritated and slightly breathless tone, suspecting I'd interrupted him when he had someone staying over. Nico, hi. Sorry, I'll call back tomorrow.
Gianna.
He exhaled roughly, and I heard rustling.
What's up?
Nothing, we'll chat tomorrow. Bye.
Don't hang up on me, he snapped. You wanted me? You got me. Spill it.
I hung up, figuring the sooner I let him go, the sooner he'd get back to whatever he'd been doing. A half second later, the phone started ringing. I answered quickly, hoping it didn't wake up the rest of the house.
Nico, come on, it's not a big deal. I'm sorry I bugged you so late.
Gianna, if you don't start talking, I'm heading up there to kick your ass.
Is this about Jackson?
I sighed. I should have known he would have heard the news from someone. I've got a free weekend. I thought maybe I could come visit, give you a hard time, harass you a little. Or a lot.
Now?
Actually, I'd been thinking about it, but...
No, tomorrow.
Bullshit, you don't call after 2 in the morning to say you wanted to stop by tomorrow.
You're busy.
By the time you get here, I won't be.
His voice softened.
You got a safe ride down?
Nico,
I'll call a service. Have a car pick you up.